Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast. In this episode I am speaking to Julio Monzon, who has founded a company, co-founded a company with his business partner. And it's now grown to a very, you know, large international operation with employees all over the world, numbering somewhere in the region of over 140 people. And I really thought it would be an interesting conversation to have about, you know, how you manage a company of that size when everybody is distributed, everybody is remote. So this is going to be a great episode for you. If your vision is to grow your team to this kind of size and beyond, how you motivate them. And also there's a little bit about work-life balance for you guys that, you know, CEOs, or that's where you want to be, that's where you want to get to, how you maintain that sense of balance. So this is a great episode. Make sure you get yourself a tasty beverage. I do remind you before we get started, and I will see you in the next one. Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Wi-Fi Tribe podcast. I am your host, Amanda, and I am here today with a very special young man. Say hey, Julio.
Hi guys.
Hey! So today, in today's episode, we are going to be having an excellent discussion. Okay, so make sure if you haven't got a tasty beverage and a nice snack, you go and do that now, okay? Because this one's going to be packed with value and top tips so that we can all do amazing things. So today we're going to be talking about work-life balance when you have a remote team that is the size of a small country. No, I'm kidding. So I'm going to get Julio to talk a little bit about himself, just so you guys get an idea of some context. And then we're going to get into some questions. Is that okay, Julio?
That's perfect.
Awesome. Okay. So, Julio, give us the highlight reel of your life. If you could start from, I don't know, maybe like your last big job, like that was, you know, kind of corporate type stuff, into how you transitioned into becoming remote and what the journey has been like since.
Yeah, sure thing. So my last remote job was around 7 years ago. So I worked for one of the biggest banks in the world, and I was in finance, and I liked it. And then they started micromanaging, and I started complaining to my roommates. And I kind of peaked at that job. And then my roommate had founded this company really, like, not long ago. It was basically him and then some assistants that we had and some data entry people. And he was like, well, do you want to leave your really secure, great paying job with benefits and come take this risk with me? And I was like, I can live and work wherever. Yeah, sure, let's do it. And so I did. That was 7 years ago. And pretty much since, maybe 6.5 years, I've been like voluntarily homeless, like just nomading, having homes, like moving around really quick at the beginning. And now I kind of stay a few months in different places and things like that. So that's sort of how I got started. And yeah, so that was around 7 years ago, and we've since grown a lot since, and yeah, it's been a great journey so far.
Oh, that's amazing. So so you've been nomading for 7 years. So what things have you picked up, what hobbies and things have you picked up along the way that you really enjoy?
Yeah, any city I go to, yeah, salsa is a king. You know I was going to say
Julio's a salsa king.
Yes.
Why I've asked him this question is going to become apparent in a moment, okay?
Yeah, so I've gotten really into salsa because you can do that all over the world. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy it. It's a good, like, release. It's a lot of fun for me. In terms of, and then the other kind of main thing to kind of balance myself out is to be social and also Thai kickboxing, Muay Thai. So I've done that in Thailand, and it's kind of all over the world, just like salsa is.
Yeah.
And those two kind of activities are organically social, in addition to doing things like Wi-Fi Tribe and groups like that. So yeah, that's sort of my go-tos when I travel.
Yeah,
So I'm sure for those of you listening, you're wondering, okay, so I've asked Julio about how he kind of transitioned into, you know, co-founding a company. And then I've asked him about his hobbies, and the two things don't seem connected, but let's pull them together. So your company, which is in advertising,
yes,
if I am correct, has how many remote employees now?
We have 146.
146. Okay, so you've got a team of 146. You sit at the top of that organization. And one thing I really enjoy about you, Julio, is that you manage to do the things that you enjoy whilst managing quite a large-scale operation with people spread out across the globe, which is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? How do you fit all of that? What does your day look like?
Yeah, I mean, it was a learning experience to get here. But a typical day for me... I'll get up really early. I've evolved into an early riser.
He's one of those.
So I don't know, probably 7-8 a.m. max or something like that. Then I'll do 4 or 5 hours of like solid work, then have lunch, and then probably take 2 to 3 hour break for lunch plus working out or something. Sometimes I'll stick working out to the end of the day. Wow. And then I'll do something social at the end of the day, and then after lunch and before either working out or being social, I'll pump out some more work. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's not like it evolved this way. It's not like I just woke up one day and we had 146 employees and I had to figure out what to do. So
yeah,
it definitely evolved, and it was a lot of coaching on my part and really taking people to the next level so I can seriously live this life, right? You're always going to have people smarter than you in different areas, and you have to take advantage of that by delegating.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So guys, you've got to get up early. That is not me. I am not a morning person. I don't care. I'm literally not a morning person. So, but every time I come across all of these successful people in the tribe and beyond, everyone always gets out of bed early. This is
really?
A disgrace.
I would actually go and say it's important for you to know how you work more productively, because mm-hmm. I like some of my business partners are the complete opposite of me. They'll get started at like 1 p.m. every day, and then they'll still be working at like 2 a.m. just because they have the same kind of split in their day.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that. I don't like working at night, late at night. I like to get up in the morning and work. So it's more important. It's more important to understand your strengths mm-hmm. and how you're going to work more productively than necessarily waking up early in the morning, like me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it's more about finding your own rhythm. Where do you feel most productive? I feel more productive. Well, okay. So I have like a morning spurt.
Yeah.
If I bother to get out of bed. But if I don't get out of bed, then any time between like 12 and 3, I'm right. useless.
Right, right.
Like I can do things like order Rappi, like order Uber Eats, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And nap. That's what I'm good for in that part of the day. And then in the evening,
yeah,
I'm happy to work.
Finding your own rhythm. That's well said. That's exactly what it is.
So, have you always been fiercely defensive of like your you time, or has it been where you've kind of thought, no, I can work, I'm just going to work, and then all of a sudden you're like, everyone get out of my sight, I have had enough of this, Mom, I'm coming home. Like, did you have that moment, or have you always been like fiercely defensive of you having time to do the things that you enjoy as well as working? Not that they're necessarily mutually exclusive, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I also wouldn't say they're mutually exclusive, but I mean, at the beginning, definitely, and there's definitely some times where just like any entrepreneur, really, like in their journey, it's, you just gotta buckle down and do something, mm-hmm. and you gotta kind of prioritize your work, for sure. So I wouldn't say I've always been super balanced. Mm-hmm. Now I have sort of the luxury of being balanced that way without sacrificing any kind of productivity with work or with the business, which is super important, because the business really fuels this type of lifestyle. That's how mm-hmm. That's the motivating factor, right?
Yeah,
I can live this lifestyle,
and also you can enjoy the work that you're doing,
definitely,
which is also part of it. But
yeah,
in terms of stepping away. I think one thing a lot of digital nomads have a problem doing is unplugging.
Mm.
You know, it's like I have my phone glued to my face at all times.
Yeah.
Or my computer's on, or it's both.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you, have you got any advice for?
I mean, realize it goes back to finding your own rhythm, because I mean, if I don't think this can work, but if you are the type of person who you'll work as best as you can by working 24 hours, then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, I doubt that is very productive. You'd be surprised how much a clear mind, a break, working out, being social, or not being social, just having time for yourself and not working, will make you more productive and more efficient, and think of different creative problem-solving strategies for your business. That's what I think. So at the end of the day, you could arguably say that I'm definitely focused on work all the time, but it's not a case of being glued to your screen the whole time. It's about balance.
No, that's brilliant. It's always good to hear people's different perspectives about how they balance work and play. But I think for a lot of people that are thinking about co-founding companies or founding their own companies, or they're, you know, they're freelancers and they want to do agency work, or, you know, have their own agency, all that stuff. What I'd really like to get into is your company, the structure, and you know, a little bit more in terms of the considerations around running a remote team, because I think there's a bit of a misconception about how it works, because you think, people think they can just go from working in an office, oh, just give everyone a laptop and tell everyone they can work from home, and that will be all right. That is, genuinely, I do get that vibe from people.
Yeah.
It's like, well, just give everyone a laptop. Even I've said it. But actually, I work in a remote team. You run a remote team.
Yeah.
We know that there's so much more to it than that. So in terms of your company, how do you structure it out? Because obviously you're not going to have 140 odd people reporting to you.
No.
So how have you kind of separated it all out?
So yeah, just like any company that would have a physical office anywhere, we have every single department you would probably think a normal company would have, from you know, we got finance, HR, sales, support, operations, account management, training, marketing, and tech. We're a tech company. And so that's how we've structured it. There's leaders in each department, as if, as you would expect. Those leaders have come up with us. They've been with us for years. And, you know, like any other company, they've been promoted because of their performance. And they've been put leadership positions and constantly promoted to because of their performance and their leadership and their coaching. And then I have the luxury of having these great conversations with each one of them and see them evolve. And the best part of my job is having these really high level conversations every year that only get better because they get better and then I get better. And then that's essentially how you run it, how it's structured in a nutshell.
Which makes sense. So in terms of office, remote team, that works out pretty similar. You'd have that. So how do you, I didn't send this question to you before, so but how do you, what strategies do you use to keep everybody kind of united, focused, and motivated? So like that can be you know, culture stuff, that can be programs, apps, whatever that you use to keep everybody connected, because sometimes it can feel, it's very easy, it's so much easier in a remote team for people to silo off.
Definitely.
And you're just like, oh my god, does anyone know what is happening with
Definitely.
This?
Definitely.
So how do you get around that?
We've got some smaller things. For example, we have, so one of the not benefits of a remote team is that you have to, you're not going into an office, so you don't have that organic little chit chat, you know? Which can be, you know, productive, but at the same time, you know, human connection is important, especially in work. So Zoom has actually this cool little thing where, and we just started doing this, you can actually go into a big Zoom meeting. So we have sort of like a co-working day if anybody wants to jump in or not or feels lonely. You can jump on Zoom. And the good thing about this feature, we looked really hard for this, is that you can talk to one person without taking over the entire conversation and having everybody hear you.
Really?
So it's kind of like a virtual meetup spot.
Wow.
And everybody can jump in, jump out, whatever. So that's one of the things we do. That's probably, it's very new, and we're really proud of that. We've had a shout out program, so like recognition is very important. We put that up on Slack. We give them points for it.
Yeah.
We've got a step challenge because, as you said, people can get pretty lethargic sometimes, you know, coding away or something like that. So we have that friendly competition every single month, and every single week people see the scoreboard and
that's
stuff like
amazing.
That in terms of steps per team, and it gets really competitive.
Yeah.
Too competitive sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
yeah, it gets really competitive.
I've walked 50,000 steps, and they've just been running up and down their house. Like,
you'd be surprised how many people sign up for marathons and stuff, because there's prizes attached to it. You get like a day off and stuff like that. So it's fun. And despite not being in one place, we've got, you know, all these teams are completely distributed. There is no office anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We pay for co-working if you want to do co-working, but these hubs have, these talent hubs have organically sort of evolved around the world. So like one of them's in Brazil, like all of a sudden there's just this amazing talent in Brazil. Maybe I shouldn't say that so people don't chase after our talent, but in other pockets of the world. So those talent hubs, we kind of like, when it's Christmas, we're like, here's some budget, you know, get people together, have a Christmas party, you know.
Oh,
have a good time.
So bloody,
and then you post
cute.
That on Slack. So it's that kind of human connection. That's on the smaller scale. Those are some of the small things we do. On a bigger scale, and probably the most important, is the culture. It is absolutely the company culture. Like I said before, it's not like we woke up and we're 145 people or 46 people overnight. So every person we have added has gone through sort of like a cultural screening process before we even talk about your talent or your past experience. Because we do understand that that is really what keeps us all together. The responsiveness, the reliability of everybody. You can be the most talented salesperson, developer, marketer in the world, but if you really don't, if you can't work remotely and you can't fit into our culture, it's really just not going to work. And that infects other people. So we've been really protective of the culture. That's how we've kept it up, and that's how we will keep it up.
Okay, and what... How, if you could, you know, pick out a few key words or key values that are important, you know, like what is it that you're mainly screening people for? Because I think that's a massive thing about building a remote team, is just because people have a computer at home doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be right. So what are you looking for?
We're looking for people to be reliable. To be responsive, to always want to improve yourself and improve the company and think sort of holistically about that. In our cultural interviews, like I said, we don't care if you're a developer from Google and you want to work with us. The first thing that you're going to go through is a cultural interview with our HR. And what happens is they ask questions around situational things that will uncover whether or not you know your strengths in terms of how productive you are alone. Where
really
you work, how you work, when you work, right? Those are all really important things. And then, of course, we, you know, our values, like I was saying, being reliable, being responsive, always wanting to improve, questions around that. That's the first screening. And then if you pass that, only then do you speak to someone in the second round about your talents or your skills or your track record or whatever.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Do you know what? I actually had never thought about that. Because obviously everyone you want, generally it's kind of characterized as you want to work with people that you like, people that you click with, people that you work with. But in terms of remote working, there is an added layer there. Like, how do you work when you're by yourself? You haven't got the physical presence necessarily of people around you. That's really interesting. So I've asked you about tools. What I would like to do is get into your brain now and ask you a little bit about some of the insights that you've picked up along the way, you and your co-founder, over the last 7 years since you've been setting up this company. You know, what have been some of the major pain points? Let's start there. So what have been some of the major irritations about having a remote team, overworking, over having an office building?
two sides to every coin, but I guess for sure, if I'm being honest and just picking pain points over the last, you know, years, definitely speaking about, you know, if there's someone who, if we need someone for something, mm-hmm. like access to something or something like that, we can't get access to them until they wake up, for example. Now, that has since encouraged us in the spirit of always keeping trying to be better to kind of like find ways so that never happens. Mm-hmm. We're not solving that by having that person never sleep. We're solving that by, you know, being more scalable, being more agile, having more access to things and stuff like that. But sometimes it is like you want someone's opinion and they're sleeping and, you know, there's nothing you can do. But on the other hand, you know, you're covering a lot of ground. Someone's always up. We really are a 24-hour company just organically. Yeah. And then just people are connected to it because they really do care about the company. And that comes, again, from culture. Like, yeah. You can't tell someone to care.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Care about us now!
So, and that's what a lot of companies miss. You really can't tell someone to care. And you can have all this stuff about trust, teamwork, accountability mm-hmm. on your website or whatever, but if you're not living it, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah.
And so you really do have to exemplify that culture every single day, mm-hmm. and every single new employee that comes in understands it because they've been through the process and they see it once they're in it, mm-hmm. you know, 3 months, 6 months, 5 years into the company. So, yeah.
So one thing, so just as a follow-up to that, because you're like, you know, sometimes you want to talk to someone and they're sleeping. Damn it, wrong with people. So do you restrict time zones for people? So say, so obviously you're nomadic and mm-hmm. you go to Thailand, Bali, and then you'll switch over and you'll go to like Europe. Mm-hmm. So are you guys, because I know that some remote companies, they're obviously everybody's fully remote, but yeah. they're like, you have to be on this time zone. Is that something that you guys have? Oh, no.
Absolutely not.
No.
No, absolutely not. And the reason, I mean, there is some overlap. Maybe some leaders say, okay, team all over the world, please have a 2-hour overlap today because we're doing this or something like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that's all you really need. You know, two, three-hour overlap. But in terms of like, no, you cannot, you have to work 9 to 5 GMT or EST or whatever, then never, not, absolutely not. Because that is going against what I said at the beginning is like, if someone works best at night, why would I tell them and order them to work 7 to 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
Right? So it goes against that. So there is some overlap for sure. We need to get things done. But so as far as a consistent, you have to work this time? No, definitely not.
Okay. That's really interesting as well. See? Make sure you work for a company that lets you go anywhere. Well, to be fair, when... because we've got some of our team are on like Asia time. Yeah. They're like a full 12 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I'm like, why? And they must think the same for us, because obviously our meetings. We use I can't remember what it's called. Like, I think it's called Every Time Zone or something.
Okay.
And you can put in all the countries of your team
mm-hmm.
and customize it. And then that's how we try and figure out the best place to schedule a meeting.
Right.
But sometimes, if you're 12 hours ahead, it's just tough buggers. I don't know
what. Yeah, yes. I mean, we've run into that challenge too. To be honest with you, people just suck it up and do it. If you mm-hmm. have to take a call at 2 a.m., you have to take a call at 2 a.m. I've had to do a podcast in the middle of remote Thailand one time in Spanish at like 3 a.m., I think. And
no.
I just had to do it. And it was totally worth it. We got some business from it. And it just goes with the territory. You're not doing that every day. It's you know your position in the company and everything like that. It just goes with it. You just have to do it.
Another question that I have. Have you ever managed to get the whole team, wider team, everybody all together in one physical place? Has that ever happened?
Yes.
Really?
we actually do that every single year.
Do you? Wow.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
So typically, we go to Asia just because it's easier for everyone's visas.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And so we go to Asia and we have a week to 2 week long kind of all-together kind of conference. There's talks, there's, you know, ask the executives us anything. There's, you know, a lot of dinners and organic, like, lunches and presentations from leaders and... Mm-hmm. And then just some free time, some free co-working time, because at the end of the day, you just, that'd be cool to just co-work with someone that you haven't seen in a while. So we definitely do that every year. Mm-hmm. We do that every year. We did a tech team specific one last year, as well as this big one.
Okay.
It's sort of getting bigger and bigger every year. So it's a lot of fun. It's a lot for sure. And it's something that we... that it's very valuable. It's very cool. It's sort of like a bonus to get us all pumped up, and then we leave, and then we all sort of... There's always an acceleration after that.
Yeah. So you notice, like, the difference between when it's been, like, a year, and you haven't all been together, and then you get together, and everyone's like,
It's really cool.
It's really
cool. It's really cool.
That is amazing. So, I guess what I would like now is... I guess, you know, what would you say, as the team has grown and gotten bigger, what has become more of an issue? Is there anything that's become, like, because obviously when we're a small team, say Wi-Fi Tribe, for example,
mm-hmm.
no more than, you know, sort of 15, 16 people, and then we have people that help us on specific projects to do things.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, what have been... some of the things that have become increasingly more challenging as the team and the company has gotten bigger?
Challenging is... challenging, not a challenge we have not overcome, but challenging for sure as we've grown is definitely been... So if I say something to the leaders, I've got to trust them that they're going to communicate that. They understand it so well for me.
Yeah.
That they can explain it back to me, and they can explain it extremely clearly to their team.
Yeah.
Because I'm not talking directly to their team. I can't. It's hundreds. So that's a challenge that has grown, for sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, we've definitely tackled that. I'm extremely, extremely clear on things, and I have people repeat it back to me just as active listening kind of exercise to make mm-hmm. sure they get it. But that's definitely been something that I've had to tackle now that I haven't had to tackle when we were, like, I don't know, 15 to 30 people, for example, mm-hmm. right? It was a lot easier because it was, you know, kind of more direct. So that, but we always sort of strive for a shared understanding, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So obviously you've got, I assume you've got people working for you from all over the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Have you run into any problems in terms of if people are from all different cultures and everybody internalizes things differently? Like, how have you overcome that? And also, have you had to go through a process of understanding that all the different cultures that you're working with and being able to go, do you know what, why are we not, say, moving forward with this particular project, like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
So has that ever been a serious issue or anything? Not a serious issue, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. A challenge, right? Yeah. I mean, definitely, it's something that you have to deal with. I think it's, you know, whenever you have such a diverse team, there's going to be that. There hasn't been anything extreme, but to give you an example, we've got a lot of team in Asia, and just normally they're very hesitant to give really important bad feedback.
Okay.
So we're not perfect, right?
Yeah.
We've got 146 very smart people. We always use them as resources to, like, tell us how to make the company better. What do you want? What's going to motivate you to stay, you know, here long, long time?
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. So we want their opinion, and sometimes you just have to be direct and say, I don't like this about it, or I don't like this benefits package, or I don't like, we need more vacation days, I don't know, something mm-hmm. like that. And sometimes you're a little hesitant to give you that. So we've really encouraged it and, like, come from all angles, and maybe even had our HR, who is also in Asia, really kind of dig into that.
Yeah.
Some of our developers, and maybe Russia, Eastern Europe, a little bit more direct. That's just kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It's just it. So they don't have issues with that. But sometimes, you know, developers just want to code, so we have to kind of encourage that and things like that. So yeah, culturally, those are the sort of kind of challenges we've had, because and it's something that we really value, because, you know, feedback, positive or negative, you know, it's only going to make us better, and that's one of our values.
That's cool. And what would you say to people that want to be in your position and have this team? Because I think, obviously, now that the world is really interconnected, people are going to meet that a lot more, that there's going to be cultural challenges and things that don't understand. You're operating and you've got employees in Asia, you've got employees in South America, mm-hmm. employees from the UK, and everyone's got like a different idea. So yeah. How, as a leader, have you developed that skill to be able to pull everybody together? Because that is not an easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. So how have you developed that skill?
Yeah.
As a, is it just by?
just because I'm off. No.
He's badass.
I mean, it's don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
So if you seriously want to build a great team, mm-hmm. and you want to be a great leader, and you want your team to communicate very well, you have to be the best communicator. You have to be very responsive. You know, I'm not saying wake up or be stuck to your phone, but you have to be very responsive if you want your team to be responsive. Mm-hmm. You have to show great relationships between your other kind of business partners if you want leaders to get along. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're talking one way and doing another thing, it is not going to work. And it sounds obvious, but really I've seen some companies struggle with that kind of thing. And it's the simplest thing. It really is. Just don't be a hypocrite. Be very aware of how your team is going, how your team is feeling. You know, on the revenue side, just on the business side, you should know how much money you made the day before. At the same time, you really should have a pulse on how your team is feeling about you, about the benefits package, what motivates them and things like that. That's all super important. And I'm not saying give them everything they want, but definitely be aware, scale 1 to 10, how you're feeling, right? And they care about that, and when they give you feedback, action the feedback, you know. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you'll get a bunch of feedback that's maybe really good, and then you don't do anything with it, and then they're gonna stop.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna go back and say, hey, why haven't you given me feedback? Because you're a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Right, you're not doing anything.
I've spent time doing it.
So yeah.
And would you say, in terms of people's individual culture, that if you know you're going to be hiring from a particular pool in a particular region of the world, that you would you recommend that leaders get a handle on some of the, on a little bit of the culture that would drive their work ethic and all of that thing? Would you, because obviously you're well travelled,
mm-hmm.
so because you can be remote and not necessarily travel everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say that that's something that has to be an active part of developing your leadership skill if you're hiring from a diverse pool, that you have at least an understanding of what drives that culture? So I know that information is out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely cannot hurt.
Yeah.
Right? If you're aware of how a certain culture is, be open-minded to it, great. Understand, however, that whoever you hired might be is an individual and might not necessarily be the carbon copy of what you've read online about how certain people are.
Yeah.
But it, absolutely, I mean, consider it for sure. Be aware of it. Don't think that that's it because everybody's an individual again. But yeah, sure, definitely.
I think one thing that we do is we have we do like a cheat sheet. So mm-hmm. each person does a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
So that you know, and it gets shared with your wider team. So they know how to get the best out of you because you've given them the information. So I have an Amanda cheat sheet and it's got like, and like Diego's got one, Carol's got one. And it just means that not only do you become more aware as a leader, but you're, you know, the team that is supporting the vision of the company, they develop as well because they have an understanding where it can't always be my way or the highway. Yeah. Sometimes it's got to be, right, well, I'm not a very direct communicator, but you know, someone like Diego really appreciates that. So I'm going to have to...
So your cheat sheet includes that kind of stuff? Is it kind of like a result of a personality test or something?
So some of it is a result of a personality test. And then there's things about... like how we like to work, what we think motivates us, you know, kind of core phrases and things that are important. So like some people it might be like don't work hard, work smart. Some people are like work hard and smart. I'm like what else is on there?
Cool.
Just small bits. Also how to best receive feedback and how they like to give feedback.
Right.
So things like that are really important. So I've put on mine. When you say, Amanda, I need to talk to you, you need to explain a little bit about what it is, because otherwise I will have an anxiety attack over it because I don't know what you're going to say. So I'll be freaking out. So when people are like, Amanda, I need to talk to you, well, you need to tell me what it's for and you need to do it soon so that I am not freaking out and getting stressed about it when really all you want to say to me is
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. You know, that's a great piece of work. Or, or you need to say, give me negative feedback. I'm like, oh, please.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. So maybe, you know, for you guys that are looking to be, you know, remote leaders, you don't have the advantage of seeing people in a physical environment respond to certain things. So if you get people to give you that information,
Definitely.
Then you've cut out most of the work.
That's great communication.
That's it. That is brilliant, I guess. And, you know, it's a fast track way of dealing with it electronically. So I think then, first off, I think we will be coming to an end, and I've got another question for you before we finish. But where can we find you on social?
So I'm on Instagram at the DigiNomads with a Z at the end.
This guy must have done his Instagram like 15 years ago. Like, what?
It's one of those things.
Yeah. Yep. So
On LinkedIn, Julio Monzon, Monzon. On LinkedIn, message me anytime. That's probably, if you want a response from me, to be honest, LinkedIn is probably the best.
Yeah.
I get a million emails, Slack messages, etc. a day, so LinkedIn is probably the best.
Okay, and what's your company called, so if people want to find out more?
The company's called Monetize More, all one word. We're an ad tech company. We're a technology company that helps publishers make more money from their display ads, and they make a lot more with our technology.
Monetize More! I like it. I think you need a jingle for that.
Yeah, maybe we should get a song.
Monetize More.
I'll get marketing right on that.
Yeah, just get them to sort it out. Obviously, I can do a jingle for you. I'm happy to record it. And never mind. Guys, that's embarrassing. So, Julio, I want you to imagine that you are mentoring somebody to do what you're doing. Maybe they've already got a company. They've got 50 employees and they're struggling to keep everybody together. Or they're, you know, struggling to get the best out of their team and all of that stuff. What is some key advice that you would give to that person that you're mentoring?
A lot. But I guess in a nutshell, on the business side, you need to have very clear, some people call them OKRs, some people call them KPIs, they're just goals. You need to have very clear goals for your either your departments or your individuals if you're a smaller team, as well as the company itself. And you need to know every single day how close you are to those goals. Whether it is financial goal, like how much money did you make did your company make yesterday? It's very important. Or if it is sort of you know, employee satisfaction scores, or how many leads you got, or conversion rate optimization on your website. There's a lot of things that you can go deep on. Data is everything. Data is absolutely everything on anything, even not just on revenue, but on things like where your employees come from, where their age, things like data is absolutely everything. Data can never hurt you. Data can always help you in ways you sometimes don't even know. So data, collect that data, make data-driven decisions. Um, don't be a hypocrite.
I feel like that's a philosophy. If I was to pinpoint like your leadership philosophy, I imagine just from having this conversation with you, that would probably be it. Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah. That's really cool. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's been good fun. So for all of you guys listening, I hope that you got a few, excellent bits. Remember, don't be a hypocrite, which I think goes for, work and play.
There you go.
So hope you are all well. Be safe. Take care of yourselves. And I will see you in the next one. Bye. You're supposed to say bye.
Bye.
Say it like you mean it.
See you guys. I'll catch you on a chapter soon.
Yay, see you on a chapter soon. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to say more about that. Never mind. Love you. Bye.